You cannot use mayim shehuvim. If you take buckets of water and you pour it into a bowl, so that's considered mayim shehuvim, water that was held in a container. So you cannot use it for a mikveh. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah, whether that's a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbana. And you have a few differences, halacha l'maaseh, based on that basic issue. So because of that din of mayim shehuvim, so we're always concerned, maybe the tap water that comes through the faucet, maybe the water went through pipes that were constructed in such a way that they hold water. If you have a pipe that's just going sideways, it doesn't contain any water. But if you have a pipe that has a base kibble to it, so they were concerned that the water would be mayim shehuvim. So we're always concerned, maybe all the tap water is mayim shehuvim, so we don't use tap water. So what do you use? Do you fix your roof of the building where the mikveh is going to be in such a way that when it rains enough, so all the water goes down a chute, the water that collects on top of the roof is not held in a container, it's sitting on top of the roof. And then you have drain pipes which don't contain any water, the water rolls down the drain pipe, and the water goes into the bore, into the basement. Now, if two or three or ten people are going to use the mikveh, so the water is going to be smelly. The water is going to have everybody's filth. So you have to change the water. So it doesn't rain every day. It doesn't rain every month in Dunishtik. So what can you do? So we usually make two boros. Make one bore where the water comes down from the rooftop and it sits there, and you don't change that water. Then you have another bore next to that, where the people are table, and that bore is mayim shehuvim. So the Mishnah has a din. If you have a hashoka, if you have a bore hatvila where the people are table, which is regular mayim shehuvim, where it's connected, if you have an opening with a bore of the mayim sheirin that came from the rooftop, so then the mikveh with the mayim shehuvim is considered a branch. It's considered an extension of the kosher mikveh. So the way the Mishnayos describe it, you have a bor next to a bor. The bor hatvila, where we keep on changing the water, is going to be next to the bor ahashoka, the bor that that water sits and stays there for years and years. So the first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a Shulchan Aruch. It's known as Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Mishnah Berurah always quotes it every other page. He always quotes from the Shulchan Aruch of the Alter Rebbe from the Baal HaTanya. So the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya has in the end of Chelek Yeridaya in the Kuntra Sachran, he has one page, how to make a mikveh in one easy lesson. So instead of writing that you have a bore next to a bore, he writes you have a very deep bore. And you have on the bottom of the bore, you have 40 saw of water. That's the minimum amount of water that you have to have. And then you put a bar, either a wooden bar or something, a piece of wood to separate between the bottom bar and the upper bar. And you have a little hole in between them, and then the upper bar, the people are traveling. And the upper bar, you keep on changing the water because it keeps on getting dirty because the people use it. But the bottom bar of water will never be affected. So because the Alter Rebbe wrote how to make a mikveh in one easy lesson, is by having a bor al gabi bor, and you have the hashoka one on top of the other instead of one next to the other. So the Lubavitcher Hasidim like to do exactly the way the Rebbe said. Al pidin, it doesn't make a difference whether you have a bor next to a bor on top of a bor. The Rebbe didn't mean to say that it's preferable this way, because that's the expression, that's the way he wrote it. They love the Rebbe so much, that's the way they do. Like the Gemara has in the end of Pesachim, that on Pesach night, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so the Chachamim introduced the takana that you have to have shnei tavshilin on the Kaira. So we have a beitza in Mizroah. What are the shnei tavshilin for? So the Gemara explains that it's if it's Bancha Beis Hamikdash or Yikayim, they ate from two different karbonis. They had a chagigah, a shalmi chagigah, shlomim, that was brought on Erev Pesach. First they ate from that. Then they ate the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, ala sova. And we have, some say we have the Avikayman at the end of the meal, that zecha to the Korban Pesach that was eaten at the end. So after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we have no Korbanos at all. So the Tanaim introduced the takana. You should have shnei tavshilin on the Seder plate. Echad zeichel lePesach, veEchad zeichel lChagiga. So the Gemara says one opinion that you should really have two pieces of flesh, because both the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga were flesh. So the Gemara says it's that we don't do that. We have one as the Beitza and one as the Zroa. So the Gemara says one of the Amoraim said, you don't even have to have one of them should be flesh. Even if one is silka and one is arosa, one silka is beets and arosa is rice, they didn't have the meaning that we have not to eat rice. So even if you have two tapshila, neither of which is flesh, that's acceptable. So the Gemara says that some of the Talmidim of that rabbi who said that afilo silka ba arosa, even beets and rice, and they loved the Rebbe so much, that's what they preferred. And they made their Seder, so they had dafke beets and rice. Hoven ofik mikum in the Rav. That's the way the Rebbe said the Shia. So they cherished every word of the Rebbe, even though the Rebbe said even silka ba arosa is good. So here, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Alter Rebbe, he describes how to make a mikveh, a bor agabi bor. The bottom bor, the water stays the same. And you just have the little hole connecting between the upper bar and the lower bar. And you have a bar al-gabi bar. So because that's the way he wrote it, so that's what they prefer. Some others are makbid that bar al-gabi bar is not acceptable. And they'll passel on the babich and mikveh. Because the Dibri Chaim, Rav Chaim Sanzer, wrote a lot on Hilchas Mikvot. And he has a chiddush which is not really accepted. He has a chumrah. That if you have a hashoka between a kosher mikveh and a posel mikveh, which we do all the time, the mikveh that the people use is the tap water. And we're concerned, maybe that's my shulet, maybe it went through a pipe that had a base kibbalin, had a container in. So we have a hashoka, we connect that with the kosher mikveh. Rav Chaim Sanzer writes in his, he has a lot of hilchos because he writes, if you have a hashoka, one bor on top of another bor, he considers that as an invalid form of hashok. He says it has to be done one next to the other, one on top of the other. He considers natzik v'katafris. The Gemara says natzik v'katafris is not a valid chibur. It's not a good connection. Everybody else understands that halacha differently. What the natzik v'katafris means is if you have one mikveh on one plateau, one level in the mountain, and another mikveh on a lower level in the mountain. So let's say one of the two mikvahs doesn't have the full 40 saw. One of them is Mayim Sheuvim and the other one is Mayim Ksherim. And then you have a lot of rain that's rolling down the side of the mountain. And there's rainwater that's rolling, flowing, connecting the mikvah on the upper level, the upper plateau, with the mikvah on the lower plateau. So because the water is flowing, so that cannot serve as a chibur, as a connection between the two mikvahs. It's not because it's a vertical connection as opposed to horizontal, but rather because the water is zechlin. So the water that's moving cannot be mechaber to mikvot. But that's the way Rav Chaim Sanzer understood the halach. He understood that you cannot have a hashoka one on top of the other. So there are some who would passel all the babich and mikvot. And this Rabbi Edelman knows that there are others who hold that what the Alter Rebbe said is absolutely not acceptable. So he did the way a lot of people do. He has three bores. He has one bore where the water came from the rooftop and that water stays on the side in one bore. Then he has another very deep bore where you have a bore al-gabi bore. So the lower, and then you have the bore hatfila where the people are tefil. So the bore hatfila has hashoket both, one on top of the other with the lower bore beneath it, and has hashoka with the bar next to it. So you make the Lubavitcher happy, you have it like the Alter Rebbe described. You make the Dibri Chaim satisfied, because you have a hashoka of a bar next to a bar. And he showed us also yesterday, when he showed us the other mikveh, so the other mikveh, I don't think, the way he described it, the other mikveh only had a bar agabi bar. Didn't have one next to the other. But what they did was the following. This is standard procedure. The Mishnah says if you have mayim she'uvim, water that was contained in a bucket, in a container, then you roll it on the ground, three tochim. You have to roll it a minimum of three tochim. So that removes the status of she'uvim. Look, all the water in the world, the Gemara knew that there's a water cycle. So all the water in the world since Sheshis Mei Breshis has at some time or another been contained in a pot, in a tea kettle. The water goes up to the clouds and it comes down, goes up and it comes down, goes up and it comes down. He says every drop of water in the world by now is already Mayim Shuvim. So the answer is it reaches a certain point that it's a Panim Chadashis, it's a new story. In this Gilgul, it was never contained in a container. So that's a question. When is it considered a new Gilgul? It only considered a new Mahadura, a new version. When the water goes up in the clouds, then it comes down, that you start from scratch, or even before that. So the Mishnayos say that if you have water in a container, and you roll the water on the ground to be Tvachim, so that removes the Psul of Shuv. That's already considered a new Panim Chadash, that's considered a new Mahadura. So regarding, that's called Hamshacha LaHamshich, to pour the water on the ground. So that's a big machlekes in the Mishnayos, and the Rambam quotes this machlekes. It's unusual. The Rambam usually doesn't quote a machlekes. The Rambam just writes one psak halacha. And in a few places, it's very rare, the Rambam will quote two different opinions. So here, regarding this issue, the Rambam quotes two opinions. What's the din of shuvah sheim shechu akula? If you have three lugim of mayim shuvim that you did a hamshacha on, so that everybody agrees that that removes the status of mayim shuvim, and it doesn't have the chumrah of three lugim. That's a big chumrah. But what if the whole mikveh is made up of mayim shuvim which had a hamshacha? So that's a machlekes in the Mishnah. Of all places, a Mishnah in Tmura, belongs in Mikvahs, but it's a Mishnah in Tmura. And the Rambam quotes a machlekes with the Gaonim, had a paskin on that. So the practice is that we do a shokin and atzad, a mikveh next to a mikveh. Then the Lubavitcher will insist on making a shok, a mikveh, a gabi mikveh. And then you have the hamshok of Gimel Tochim in addition to that. Where I go in the summertime, so the old mikveh was used by Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Elchanan Wasserman, all the tzaddikim, all the litvish and tzaddikim used to stay by the Goldings, used to daven in the shul there, and used to use that, they said the mikveh is acceptable. And when the Lubavitchers started to come to Tannersville in the summertime, so they would travel over an hour to Troy, New York, in order to use a Lubavitcher mikveh. And because they insisted they have to. No, the women. For the men, it's good enough, yeah. Someone wanted to know, if a mikveh for women, is it acceptable for tefillas kelim? Yes. A mikveh for women is a kosher mikveh, and it's good for tefillas kelim. You have to have a real kosher mikveh. For men to go to mikveh before they daven, that was a takonis Ezra. Ezra Sofer made 10 takonis, the Gemara quotes. And Baba Kama Ezra made 10 takonis. One of the takonis was that if a man is a balkeri, he shouldn't daven and he shouldn't learn. So the Gemara says that after many, many years, Ezra was the beginning of the building in the second Beis HaMikdash, so centuries later, the Takanas Ezra was repealed by the later Tanakh. And they said, you're permitted to learn even if the man didn't go to Mikdash. So the Gemara is unclear. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Navi, Halakot Vorika Eish. The Divrei Torah is like fire. Fire in one's bones, fire in one's soul. The person gets all excited about learning. So the Gemara comments, just like Eish is not Mekabel Tuma, so Divrei Torah not Mekabel Tuma, so that's why they repeal Takanas Ezra, that it's not necessary for men to go to Mikveh, even if they're Balkari, they're permitted to learn. So unclear in the Gemara whether they repeal Takanas Ezra completely, even for davening, or only for learning, because the original Takana was that a man who's a Balkari is neither permitted to daven, all permitted to learn. So this is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivin. The Rambam writes that Takanas Ezra was completely repealed, both with respect to davening and with respect to learning Torah. And the Raivin disagrees. The Raivin says no, that a man is obligated to go to mikveh before he davens and if he knows that he's a balkeri. The Rambam writes that it's not necessary, but he writes an interesting autobiographical comment in his Mishnah Torah, which is very rare. He says, God in heaven above will be able to testify that I personally always went to mikveh before he davened. He was a closet chassid. He didn't publicize, but he writes that he always went to mikveh before he davened to make sure that he doesn't violate the takana sezer. Even though he himself holds the takana sezer was totally repealed. So Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his commentary on the Rambam, writes, why was he machmir? He says that the takana was repealed. So he explains, as Mishnah explains, that the takana was repealed because it was too difficult for the people to observe it. But really, it was a good takana, should have been enforced. So that's why the Rambam felt that it's meaningful to volunteer to observe it. So by the Hasidim, they have adopted the position like they write that they're machmir. And they try to go to mikvah all the time when they think that they're balkir. So the Gemara says explicitly, with respect to this takana sezra, you don't have to have a kosher and mikvah. That's why we say men's mikvah is not acceptable, not always going to be acceptable for women or for tefillos kehilah. Because to remove takana sezra, to resolve the issue, it's enough to be toivel in a mikvah or a swimming pool of 40 soa. Even the water is all ma'im she'uvim. You don't need a kosher mikvah. Here, Rabbi Edelman showed us on the first day, he showed us that the mikvah for the men also has a hashok. I think the mikvah that he showed us today, the men's mikvah also has a hashok. He told us that the people in this neighborhood, in the wealthy neighborhood where they built the fancy, schmancy, delancy mikvah, so the people there are not as medaktik as in the other neighborhoods. So the men only go to mikvah on Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif is because in this week's Sedra, says a person should be careful. That's how the Chazal understand. Chai vod mutar atzma baregel. People, men have to go to mikveh. Men and women, everybody has to go to mikveh l'kavod yontif. But he says in his area, where he has his kailo, his mikveh, so his people go to mikveh not only on Erev Yontif, they go to mikveh all the time. Men are always makveh to go to mikveh, but only over here. These are the modern Orthodox group. So they only go to mikveh on Erev Yontif.